I want to talk to you about why we're doing all this. Why we have plants on the walls, which, by the way, are hard to water. And trees on the bima. And a concert tonight that you really must attend. The rabbis asked the question why the Jews deserve to be liberated from Egypt. After all, there were a lot of slaves in the ancient world. Why did God decide that we deserve to be liberated? And they give the following answer. It's because, says the Midrash, the Jewish people didn't change their names, they didn't change the way they dressed, and they didn't change their language. They were true to their traditions. Many years ago, the scholar and chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary, Gerson Cohen, gave a lecture called The Blessings of Assimilation. And he quoted that Midrash and he said, the only thing wrong with that Midrash is not a word of it is true. He said, think about the names first of all. We now know that Moses is an Egyptian name, it's not a Hebrew name. Aaron, Moses' brother, it's an Egyptian name. Pinchas, what sounds more Hebrew than Pinchas? It's an Egyptian name. Chofni is an Egyptian name. All of them, they changed their names. Of course they did. We think now, those of us who grew up in America, know that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were named things like Sidney and Irving. We thought of those as Jewish names. But when they were first named Sidney and Irving, they were being named after British kings. Everybody thought that was a regal name. Then it became a name from the Catskills. Jews have always changed their names. Jews in America had American names. Jews in Russia had Russian names. Jews in Iran had Iranian names. In the Talmud, you get Rabbi Alexander. Alexander's not a Jewish name. It's a Greek name. Rabbi Aristobulus, we always did. And what about our dress? Look around you. Jews dressed in the culture in which they lived. When you say in the morning blessings, Ateret Yisrael Betif Ara, who crowns Israel with glory, you know what you were supposed to do as you said that blessing? You were supposed to wind your turban around your head. That's what Maimonides did because he lived in a land in which people wore turbans. So did he. The dress of Hasidim, the long black coat, is not Jewish dress. It's from 18th century Polish noblemen. In fact, my friend Danny Gordas told me a story when he lived in the valley in North Hollywood. He was walking with a Hasidic friend of his to synagogue, and it was 110 degrees out. The guy was wearing a long black coat. And he said to Danny, because the Baal Shem Tov lived in the Carpathian Mountains, I have to sweat. Jews always dressed however the people around them dressed. The only distinctive Jewish dress is a talit. And language? Language. The Talmud is the most important book in Jewish history next to the Torah. What language is it written in? It's written in Aramaic because the Jews lived in Babylonia and everybody spoke Aramaic. Jews have been creative in every language under the sun. Not only have they spoken that language, but they've transmitted Jewish learning in that language. They've learned and written songs in that language. There are more books of Jewish scholarship published in English in the 21st century than in any language at any time in history. In English, which God knows is not a Jewish language. So you see, the destruction of the temple was the greatest catastrophe in our history, but there was a wonderful side to it as well. It allows us to go all over the world and to learn and to teach. When Abraham first leaves Ur Kasdim, the rabbis talk about why it is that God wanted Abraham to wander around the world. They said Abraham was like a vial of perfume. And you have to spread it around for everybody to be able to savor its sweet smell. Again and again and again throughout human history, lands have benefited because the Jews have passed through them. The world has been enriched, but so have the Jewish people. Imagine Judaism without all the various cultures that we celebrate, all the languages we speak, all the books we have written. All the sadnesses we remember. We are the very first, and until recently, the only global people. Every other people lived in a certain place, and when they wandered, they were lost. That was it. It was over. Only the Jews lived in the entire world. So we were always at home and never at home. And so it is unsurprising that even when we managed to have our homeland once again, we weren't willing to give up the world. We weren't willing to renounce all the beauty and creativity and genius and sadness and memory that all these languages brought home to us. I remember once when I was a child, we went to a trip to Israel, and we went on an archaeological dig. And I was standing next to my father, and the archaeologist pulled a shard of pottery out of the ground, and he handed it to the boy who was standing next to me. And he said something to him in Hebrew. And the boy turned to my father and he said, "What did he just say to me?" And my father said, "He just said to you that nobody has touched that pot for 2,500 years. And I thought, where were we all that time? We were here and there and there and there and there, all the lands of our dispersion, but we were busy. We were creating and dreaming and teaching and learning songs, stories, Torah. That's why we're all here together, because we all have different pasts and a common destiny. We come from many lands, but all of our songs belong to all of us. We're the Jewish people. We have always been and will always be."